He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Saturday weekend review edition of the Best Stocks Now show, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual fee-based money management firm with clients all across the country. Radio show daily in many markets across the country. And I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years, in addition to being an analyst, writing up research reports on individual stocks. And I'm here with Perry Kite today, who is our chartered financial analyst. He's also a certified financial planner. So hopefully we bring something to the table here for you today. And what has been quite a mixed-up market this year, quite a difficult market this year. You've got the NASDAQ down almost 25% year-to-date. You have the bond market, which has taken it on the chin, really for the first time in 40 years, believe it or not. You've got inflation raging, something we haven't seen for the last 40 years. We've got energy crises around the world, particularly in Europe. We've got a world in commotion. Ukraine and Russia, obviously, still at it. So there's a lot to talk about in today's Best Stocks Now show. Where have we been? Where do we go from here? This is the Best Stocks Now show week in review. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show week in review. And I guess, Barry, we should also talk a little bit about year in review. We're 9 months into this year, and it has been a unique year, to say the least. You know, in my 23 years in the business, every year is certainly unique. There's no 2 years alike. I remember the 9/11 year when the markets were closed for a few weeks. I witnessed the big crash of the NASDAQ, which went down 79% back in the year 2000. We saw the financial crisis of 08 and 09, which saw the S&P 500 down 53%. And now this year, in the COVID year, let's not forget the COVID year. That was certainly challenging there for a while, while we really were in the darkness, didn't know what was at the other end of the tunnel that we had just entered. And now here we are today, 2022, and we're going to try to make sense of the markets for you. Barry, you've been in the markets a couple of decades. You've seen a lot, too. How would you, what are some of the highlights from this year so far, some of the pitfalls out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of, the old, adage of, trying to drink water from a fire hose, right? I think it's, in terms of news, it's just, almost, most of it not positive. It's just, one thing after another, right? You've got, whether it's, geopolitical turmoil, you hit it in terms of, Ukraine, Ukraine, Russian war, of course, we had the passing of the Queen, so you've got essentially the UK changing, prime ministers and the de facto, monarch, the monarchy all in the same week. You've got, we've seen water problems in Mississippi. You've got
Problems in California.
In California, and then I read the news today that you've got a tropical storm coming there that could potentially dump a year's worth of rain onto California. So it's things certainly seem to come in bunches. I think certainly the biggest news has been, of course, the Fed finally having the will and mandate to begin raising rates. And I think if you talk about, market moving news, that's probably been the most. I've been working on getting a graph of graphing essentially the, yields in treasuries, across the, overlay it over the top of the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ and how correlated that the markets have really been to that, just to U.S. interest rates.
Yes, and of course we have listeners that get up, go to work every day, either from home or at the office. That's another big change we've seen here in the last several years. People have gone virtual. We've been a virtual firm for, I'd probably say, 6, 7 years, something like that, when I gave up the high-rise office downtown and went virtual. I just figured that was the most the best way to go with clients all over the country and with a nationwide newsletter, a nationwide radio show. And that's the way we've been, and it has worked really good for us, and hopefully it's worked well for our clients also. A lot of challenges. We've got people out there going to work. They've got 401ks that they're putting money away into. I usually get stopped by somebody somewhere over the weekend that sees me and says, "Hey, what should I be doing with my 401k right now?" That's a big concern. If you're in tech, if you're in really high tech, you're down 25-30% in that portion of your 401k. If you're in bond funds, you're down 10-15% because of rising interest rates. So we'll do our best to make sense of things. I bring to the table, like I say, 23 years of experience as a professional money manager. I was based in San Diego for a long time. And used to travel to the financial center of the West, which is really the Bay Area of California, where all the big banks are. A lot of mutual funds are based out of the Bay Area. Franklin Funds, for instance, several others. And I used to make calls on those mutual funds, talk to the fund managers, talk to the hedge fund managers, taking ideas to them. I learned, had a lot of good mentors up there in the mutual fund industry. I had one guy who taught me evaluation methodology on individual stocks and on the market that I still use today. And it was the basis for the app that I invented, BestStocksNowApp.com, which grades on daily basis, 6,000 plus ETFs, mutual fund stocks, 5-year stock valuations on all the key players in the stock market that have earnings, momentum rankings, and my ranking combines momentum with value. I found out in the year 2000, late 90s, that valuation eventually is going to, the chickens are going to come home to roost there. You've got to pay careful attention to valuations on the market and on your individual holdings. And at the same time, momentum has a lot to do with things. You can have a grossly undervalued stock, in your opinion, and it can sit there and go nowhere for year after year after year after year. I see value traps like AT&T and Verizon, and even though they pay big dividend yields, the stocks go nowhere. And in fact, they go down, which offsets your dividend yield. So valuation and momentum, the two combined, are what I key my system, my valuation and ranking system on. This year, it's been a lot of energy stocks that have led the way. At the other end of the spectrum, down at the bottom, the areas to avoid have been the real high-tech stuff, the long-duration stuff with high P.E. ratios or no P.E. ratios. They do not do well in a rising interest rate environment. The long bonds, pretty much any kind of bond, has not been a good place to be this year. Bond funds in particular, because of rising interest rates. So it's kind of narrowed the field down here this year as the areas to be invested in. I would say, Barry, there's a lot more areas not to be invested in this year. We're active managers. We don't sit here passively in an asset allocation come hell or high water. Depending on your age, that's how most asset allocations are drawn up. We believe in active management. You're in a rising interest rate environment. We haven't seen that for 40 years. Man, you got to adjust your portfolios pretty big time here with that kind of a seismic change.
It's like walking through a minefield.
I'll say, when we come back, we'll talk a lot about where we're at year to date, where the bad areas are, where the good areas are, and what's causing this, and how to adjust your portfolios. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, week in review. Well, so far, as of yesterday, S&P 500 down 16% year to date. So the S&P's lost about 1/6 of its value, where it began the year at about 4,700. 4,766 is where we began the year. Now we're hovering right around 4,000. You got a 16-point drop. And I think just from our analysis and observation, that drop, okay, I'm going to explain a very simple formula here that we use, that most market watchers use, in putting a price tag or a price target on the S&P 500. It's a very simple equation. You take all 500 companies that make up the S&P 500, and you look at the earnings for all of those companies, okay, the future earnings, right, their expectations for this year, 2022, next year, 2023, and the year after that, 2024. And then you use an equation that then calculates the total earnings per share, the total earnings per share for the entire S&P 500. It boils down to one number. And then once you have that earnings number, you use a multiplier, which is equivalent to the P/E ratio, or the forward P/E ratio of the market. When you multiply those earnings by the, let's say, the past, let's say the earnings by the next 12 months earnings expectations, you get a price target for the next 12 months of the S&P 500. And every time there's a change in the earnings estimates, the price target adjusts accordingly. Now, this year is an unusual year. Where we've seen the big change has not been in the earnings side of the equation at all. It's been in the multiplier. It's the multiple that has shrunk considerably. We began the year, Barry, at 23.05. 23.05 was the forward E of the market when we started the year. We're somewhere in the 17 area right now. Why has the multiple of the S&P 500 gone from a multiplier of 23 down to 17?
Yeah, it's the discount rate that we apply to those multiples. So for example, if you look at the formula of how to calculate what PE multiple, say, we should put on earnings, right? Part of that formula involves an interest rate, and it's in the denominator or divisor. So as the interest rates go up, well, we're putting a bigger number in that in the divisor, and so we get a smaller multiple. And so and it's also, you think of the old future value, present value kind of calculations from kind of finance 101. Where essentially as discount rate goes up, right? It's your present value is going to be less. So those future, especially for companies where most of their earnings are, say, a growing company who's not going to have earnings for, say, 5 years. Well, those income streams, 5-10 years off, discounted back to today's dollars, are going to end up adding up to less as interest rates rise. So it's really, a lot of it's, really basic in terms of, formulaic when it comes to the P.E. ratio side of things. And that's really where we've seen, most of this market, bear market move has certainly been based on interest rates and based on and their effects on multiples.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people out there don't realize the impact that interest rates have on individual stocks. Most people know that, it certainly has an impact on the housing market. You've got interest rates now in the 30-year mortgage. It looks like they're headed towards 6%. We were at 3%. You've got a doubling. What has that done to the housing market? It's put a chill in the housing market. And, some of the hotter areas of the market, we have a family member who owns a condo out in the San Diego area where it was about $1.1 million here at the height. It's come down. It's about $900,000 right now. We're talking the last 3 or 4 months, too, because that higher interest rate takes a lot of people out of the market. It definitely affects rental units also. Because it's part of that equation. It affects the bond market big time because bonds go the opposite way of interest rates. As interest rates go higher, bonds go lower. That's why we don't have any bond funds whatsoever at our firm, Gunderson Capital Management. We do own some individual bonds, which are a little bit different animal. We plan on holding those to maturity. But it also has an impact on the stock market. Interest rates going up shrink the multiple and cause stocks to go down. So nothing's really happened to the earnings, but if we were multiplying today's earnings estimates by the multiple that we began the year with, 23, we'd have about a 5,000 S&P 500 right now.
Right.
Just
yeah.
Under 5,000. But the problem is Jerome Powell and his friends at the Fed have continued to increase interest rates. That's continued to cause the multiple to contract. And I don't see him turning around and lowering interest rates anytime soon. In fact, they're on the war path. I think you can expect another 75 basis point rate hike coming up soon, and that multiple is going to remain under pressure. And most folks don't realize when you own stocks, the higher the multiple in a rising interest rate environment, the more vulnerable the stock. So look at the difference between the S&P 500. Let's look at the Dow. That's even a bigger contrast. The Dow is down 12.5% year to date. The higher PE NASDAQ is down 24%, double that of the Dow. Why? Because the P.E. ratio. If you've got an index that's trading at 30 times earnings, it's going to take a bigger hit when that multiple contracts to, say, 20 times earnings than you would on the Dow, which, let's say, is at 15 times earnings and now is at 12 times earnings, something like that. And then you even go further out in the spectrum, the long-duration stocks, the types that are owned in these innovation funds, they're down 50% year to date. So hopefully that will help you a little bit. You know, the best performers have been short duration stocks. In fact, the dividend paying stocks have held up much, much better this year than the pure growth stocks because pure growth stocks are long duration, whereas dividend paying stocks are considered short duration. So should you be in the high-tech area of the market here in 2022? No, we got out of most of our high-tech back in last year, February of last year, and we've lowered the P.E. multiples of our portfolios considerably. Now, when we come back, there's ways to hedge your portfolio. How do you do that? This is Bill Gutterson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner Barry Kite. Gunderson Capital Management is a nationwide virtual firm. You don't have to drive downtown and sit in a waiting room, finding a place to park, fighting one-way streets, all this and that instead. You know, you can do it from your lazy boy chair, if you like, and have a discussion with us on how we manage money versus the others. We're active. That doesn't mean we're day trading. We're not passive, because when the world changes as it has this year, and it will continue to change, a lot of things in commotion right now, in Europe especially, where they have a pipeline that used to bring them natural gas and plenty of energy for the winter time, which is now shut off. And I know they're meeting Friday there to discuss the emergency situation, and they're going to try to cap the price on Russian fuel. I don't know how you do that. I know the new Prime Minister of England is capping the price on utility bills. I don't know who makes up the difference there. They're trying to find other sources. I don't see them. You know, they've closed down 170 coal-fired power plants. They might want to fire up just a few of those until they have the adequate substitute, the renewable energy at some point in time to replace it. But you've really got a world in commotion. I just want to spend a little more time here on the scoreboard for the year. The big winner this year has been crude oil. Crude oil is up, 13% this year since the beginning of the year. It began the year at $75.45. It's been as high as $125. So the energy stocks have been the winner this year. The crude oil and particularly the natural gas. The refiners have done really well. The shipping companies, the shippers of oil, especially natural gas, have done really well. The losers this year, as I said, the high tech, down about 45-50%. Tech in general, NASDAQ down 24%. Bitcoin, which we never bought into, the whole Bitcoin thing, it's down 56% this year as Bitcoin. The Treasury, the long bond is really down this year. The 7 to 10 year Treasury's down 13.1%.
Wow!
And then you get into the high yield stuff; it's down even more. So again, you know, your 401k. Normally speaking, you have mutual funds to choose from. In the newsletter every week, we put out. You know, our you know, general analysis and how we would allocate a 401k, very low exposure to anything high PE. The world markets have done poorly this year, too. The emerging markets, not a good place to be. They're down 16%. Europe is a terrible place to be this year. You know, the European market's down 25% this year.
Well, okay, especially now, if you're bringing them back to U.S. dollars. I mean, think of what's, you know, what's the dollar up this year? Is it UUP is the one you use,
yes,
right?
The U.S. dollar year-to-date is up 14.7%.
Wow.
Yeah. And that has a big impact on 401ks and on mutual funds and on commodities and on international companies.
Yeah, your multinationals bringing those, you know, earnings, say, made overseas, right, especially in Europe, and bringing those, you know, currency translation, bringing it back to dollars. Well, you're converting those currencies into less dollars, which is and going to be a headwind, is a headwind, and is going to be a go-forward headwind for a lot of U.S. multinational firms I've got an interesting scoreboard note. So, you know, this latest week, you're talking about mortgage rates. Well, the 30 years at 5.89%. That number came out on Thursday. And now, can you want to guess where it was just a year prior?
So I'm going to say 2.9.
You're real close, 2.88. So
yeah,
you know, literally risen 3% from, you know, just a year ago, from 2.88 on a 30-year to 5.89 on a 30-year now.
And of course, the Fed is engineering that, trying to cool off an overheated housing market. But at the other end of that, the pain. It comes to people that own, or in the mortgage business, real estate agents. If you're trying to sell a home, it's gotten a lot harder. A lot of people just can't make those payments anymore at 5.8% versus 2.8%. That's a big difference. So you know what? Being in the right areas and out of the wrong areas. Now, I want to talk a little bit about hedging. Let's say you have inherited a bunch of bonds, you know, or you got a big bond portfolio. Well, there's inverse funds out there. I learned about inverse funds probably 15 years ago. For instance, on the bond market, TBT is an ETF. It's an ETF that goes opposite of the bond market. So if the bond market's down 13% this year, it's up 13%. There's an inverse ETF with, you know, in the world of ETFs now, it used to be that you had to buy an inverse mutual fund. Of course, you can short individual stocks, but now you're getting into pretty sophisticated territory, you know, you can get clobbered being short one stock. Such as GameStop or Bed Bath & Beyond. But you can buy an ETF that is inverse. It's built to be exactly inverse, whatever the index mimics.
Yeah, SARK being a great example. Well, S-A-R-K.
Yes, ARK is Cathie Wood's ARK Funds, which is in the eye of the hurricane and has been there for about 2 years now. SARK is the inverse edition of that ETF. We made a lot of money in that thing earlier this year, and it's starting to do well again. And, of course, on the NASDAQ, you can buy QQQ, which is long the NASDAQ, or you can buy PSQ, which is short the NASDAQ. So if QQQ is down 24% this year, PSQ is up 24%. On the S&P 500, SPY, S-P-Y, is the long S&P 500. It's down 16%. SH is the inverse S&P 500. It's up 16%. Then if you want to get really crazy, there's double inverse and triple inverse. The ProShares and Direction are the two fund providers of a lot of the inverse. We don't go crazy with them, but we definitely have used them off and on this year, more so than any other year, because we knew at the beginning of the year the themes that we established for our investing thesis were rising interest rates. So you want to be inverse anything that does not do well, like SARK, like the bond funds, in rising interest rate environment. We felt like there would continue to be shortages this year in the supply chain. That's causing inflation. So you really don't want to be in a lot of companies that are being hurt right now by the supply chain. And we also said there would be a lot of turmoil and commotion in the world this year. And that would strain energy. Energy has been a big theme of ours. Okay, another area that's done really well. On the one hand, it's ironic that the fossil fuel sector is leading the market. Here's the most hated sector, the worst ESG score possible, the one they're trying to get rid of. But it's been a leader because, you know, fossil fuels are not going anywhere for quite some time. They're still going to be needed for a lot of applications. But the renewable energy sector has also done very well. I'm going to call it and the oil sector the two best sectors in the market this year. The solar stocks have done really well, and they've gotten a bump here recently with the bill that was passed, the climate change bill, has really lit a fire. First Solar's doing really well. Enphase, which we consider to be probably the premier tech stock in the solar sector, it converts those sun rays into energy that can be used with their inverters, their highly advanced inverters. There's been, the electric vehicle market, these startups, the stocks, see, they're long-duration stocks, the Rivians of the world and the Lucids of the world, and others, Ride, Lordstown Motors, they're long-duration. It's going to take a while for them to look at how long it took for Elon at Tesla to be profitable. These guys are at the beginning of that curve, so that has not been a good area to be. And, of course, anything interest rate sensitive, like the home builders, the lenders, etc., not a good place to be in 2022. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about some of our favorite places to be in the market here in 2022. We'll be right back, and our forecast.
You got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do.
Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Week in Review. Well, if you ask me today, where do you think the S&P 500 is headed from here, which we're right at about 4,000 right now, well, what's it worth based on the earnings estimates for this year, next year, and actually the year after that? We have estimates out. Expectations, no guarantee they'll be met, but the market's going to trade on those expectations until actual numbers start coming in. We're in between earnings seasons. We've got three more weeks, and the third quarter of this year will end, and then we'll have another earnings season kick in about mid-October, the reports, that is. Okay, so in 2008-2009, earnings for the S&P 500 aggregate bottomed out at $60 per share. Okay, so you put a multiple on there, which has been average over the years, let's say 17. It's usually 16 to 18. We'll do 17. At that point, the S&P 500 was worth, what, about $1,000? And it got down to 660 at one time until those earnings estimates finally settled in. And finally bottomed. And then those earnings started to climb from $60 per share in 2009. They've been going up every year since then, believe it or not. Okay, this is 2022. They've been going up for 13 years, except for the COVID year, which you can basically write off as an extraordinary event in accounting terms. They've been going up every year. And, in fact, this year, 2022, we're expecting record earnings, believe it or not. The problem is, in fact, well, let's just, we're at about $225, somewhere in there, $225 per share this year versus $60 in 2009. And if you were to say to me, hey, why has the market gone up for the last 12 or 13 years? We've had the longest bull market in the history of the market. Well, it's because earnings have been going up, and the market indexes, it's a simple equation, follows those earnings going higher. Is there any better indicator out there than earnings expectations for the S&P 500? I haven't found one. And there's been bears all along the way. There always are. There's perma bears out there. There's perma bulls. Neither one are right. Okay, you're going to have another bear market. We've had a couple of brief ones here recently, including the COVID year. They didn't last long, but they definitely broke the uptrend for a while. But then record earnings lifted the markets back up again. So now it's all about next year, 2023 and 2024. Well, as of now, we're still expecting record earnings next year and record earnings the year after that. But the multiple has come way down. So the target prices have come way down. In addition to that, we have some vulnerability to those earnings estimates right now. A lot of companies are being squeezed by supply chain, by inflation. You know, the restaurants, the thin margin companies, a lot of the retailers, they're paying more for the inputs.
Currency headwinds that we
currency headwinds
yeah.
are a big thing. And, of course, if the country goes into a recession, we're kind of on recession watch. We're already in a recession, technically, because we've had two straight quarters of negative GDP. That's the textbook definition of a recession. Now, will it be short? Will we come out of it? And we will get GDP report for this quarter sometime midway through October, and we'll know whether or not it's three quarters in a row of negative GDP growth. Now, if we go into a recession, those earnings estimates that are out there on the horizon are at risk. You're going to start to see those earnings estimates come down, and I have seen them for the first time in many years. I'm starting to see adjustments downwards to next year's earnings estimates and the year after that. I update those every single week. Every Friday, I update the earnings estimates and the target price for the S&P 500. And that's my main indicator for how I'm invested right now. We're a little bit on the cautious side right now because we fear a potential recession that would be brought about by the Fed aggressively hiking interest rates like they're doing. So we have about a 40% cash position right now across the board. I'm an unconstrained manager. I don't have to be fully invested. I can go anywhere I want to go, including inverse funds. We have a low exposure to the high-tech arena. Instead, we own more of the bigger, lower PE stocks if we do own tech stocks. The dividend stocks, and we have a larger than usual exposure to the energy patch, both renewable and fossil fuels. We have very little exposure to the financials, the industrials. Nah, I don't want any of that in this environment. Consumer, retail, no, not an inflation. Bond funds, no, not in a rising interest rate environment. Speculative growth, no, that was 2020, the year for that. Bitcoin, no way. So anyways, that's where we're at. That's kind of our forecast. That's why we're where we're at right now in the markets and where we go from here. I mean, the Fed holds the key. If they can create a soft landing and avoid a recession, which is not going to be easy to do, then we're okay. If the Fed's aggressive rate hikes, which we haven't seen the likes of in 40 years, I mean, three-quarters of a point at a time, if that puts us into recession, then there's going to be more downside to these markets. All right, well, you can get a free two-week trial to my newsletter, which I'm writing right now at GundersonCapital.com. It only goes to our clients and subscribers. I have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow my research and our stock picks here. And I have all of our current portfolios in the newsletter. You're entitled to two free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about active and vigilant management as opposed to asleep at the wheel passive management, that's what I call it, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.